And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The president of the Lutheran Church of Canada has said it will move away from the use of locally administered church funds after Alberta's securities regulator accused one of its district churches of misleading investors. The Alberta Securities Commission, the ASC, issued a notice of hearing into allegations against the district church, a related company called Alberta British Columbia District Investments Limited, and five individuals. It is accused of misleading investors who put more than $130 million into funds that backed a residential development east of Calgary that sought court insolvency protection in 2015. It's caused a lot of hurt and bitterness and anger, the Reverend Tim Teuscher, president of the Lutheran Church of Canada, said in an interview from the Winnipeg head office. This precipitated a decision of restructuring at our synod last year, actually. Instead of having separate corporate groups within the church body that kind of do their own thing corporately, we decided we're going to get rid of that. He said the church has never previously had problems with its extension funds, which have been used for decades to provide a return to investors while raising money for capital projects, such as churches and schools. The Ontario Lutheran District has such a fund that has operated without problems, but it is in the process of being retired, he said. In its notice, the ASC alleges that operators of the investment program failed to tell investors, many of whom were church members, what their money was being used for and at what risk. The ASC alleges that more than $95 million have been invested by more than 2,600 investors in the Church Extension Fund, the CEF, and over $37 million was invested by over 900 investors in the separate District Investments Limited Fund as of November 30, 2014. A series of loans resulted in about 75% of the combined funds being placed in a development called Encharis that included a school, church and seniors housing complex east of Calgary, the ASC said. ASC staff alleged that investors were never told about the high concentration of funding going into one project, nor did they find out about persistent loan defaults or cash flow problems. The commission is set to meet with the parties on August the 13th to set a date for a hearing regarding the allegations of securities laws violation. It should be made quite clear that the allegations have not been proven. The list of respondents include the national and district churches, as well as company officers or directors. A doctor has been fired from a top government role for suggesting gender is determined at birth. Dr. David Makareth, 55, who has worked as an NHS doctor in the UK for 26 years, was deemed to be unfit to work after he said he would refuse to identify patients by their preferred gender. The senior doctor was set to become a disability assessor for the Department of Work and Pensions, claims a person's gender is biological, and said his right to freedom of speech had been denied. The medic from Dudley in the West Midlands fears other professional people of faith could lose their job simply for holding opinions about gender that are centuries old. Christian Dr. Makareth said it's his religious belief. The medic, who spent most of his career in accident and emergency wards, said, "I'm not attacking the transgender movement, but I am defending my right to freedom of speech and freedom of belief. I don't think I should be compelled to use a specific pronoun. I'm not setting out to upset anyone, but if upsetting someone can lead to doctors being sacked, then as a society we have to examine where we are going." Dr. Makareth, a Reformed Baptist, started training in May to become a health and disability assessor for the government department. His role would have involved compiling independent reports about the health of those he interviewed who were claiming disability benefits. But matters began to sour when his instructor said reports must only refer to the patient or client by the gender the person self-identifies as. "I said that I had a problem with this. I believe that gender is defined by biology and genetics, and that as a Christian, the Bible teaches us that God made humans male or female. I could have kept my mouth shut, but it was the right time to raise it," said Dr. Makareth. The tutor passed on his comments and Dr. Makareth received an email from APM, the agency employing him, stating that the DWP was adamant that any report or contact with clients should refer to people in their chosen sex, or it could be considered harassment as defined by the 2010 Equality Act. The doctor replied that in good conscience he could not conform to those demands, and so the contract was terminated. He said, "Firstly, we are not allowed to say what we believe. Secondly, as my case shows, we are not allowed to think what we believe. Finally, we are not allowed to defend what we believe." A DWP spokesman said the Equality Act made it unlawful to discriminate on grounds of a protected characteristic, such as gender reassignment. She added, "Dr. Makareth made it clear during his training that he refused to use pronouns which did not match his own view of a person's biological gender. We expect all assessors to handle assessments sensitively and adhere to the Equality Act 2010. APM declined to comment. Hostility and anger towards the Church on social media is stopping abuse survivors coming forward, the Church of England's General Synod has heard. Speaking in a debate about new plans to tackle sexual, spiritual and other forms of abuse in the Church, Canon Simon Butler, Chair of the House of Clergy, warned that Church staff were being unfairly targeted for criticism. He told the Church's governing body, which is meeting this weekend in York, that he had been contacted by a number of survivors who feel inhibited about sharing their stories publicly because of the public tone of the conversation. In one case, a woman had told him that she tried to speak out about her experience on social media, but had been shouted down by one or two people, one a survivor. "The silencing will cause further damage," he warned. "I'm sometimes ashamed of the way that some members of Synod claiming to speak on behalf of survivors speak about our staff," said Canon Simon Butler. Mr. Butler said he was ashamed of the language used to talk about people working for the National Church Institutions, the NCIs, a group of organisations including Lambeth Palace and the Archbishop's Council, some of which manage abuse complaints. "They are people. They are not heartless functionaries. If survivors have names, so do our staff," he said. "I'm sometimes ashamed of the way that some members of Synod claiming to speak on behalf of the survivors speak about our staff. Many of them are not practicing Christians. When we talk about how the world sees the Church, we should remember that. So we find ourselves in something of a standoff between disgruntled survivors and the NCIs, and the anger and frustration is palpable, chiefly on social media," he said. Mr. Butler, who is vicar of St. Mary's in Battersea, urged bishops to heal the breach with the group of rightly angry survivors. He was speaking in a debate over new measures, which include introducing a new policy for clergy selection, and proposed the creation of an independent ombudsman to manage complaints about how abuse allegations have been dealt with. They were overwhelmingly approved by the Church. Introducing the measures, Peter Hancock, the Bishop of Bath and Wells and the Church's leading safeguarding bishop, said it has spent £7 million on safeguarding in 2018, up from £37,000 in 2013. "Over the years, the Church's leaders have singularly failed to see what was before our eyes. We did not give safeguarding the prominence it deserved," he admitted. The debate came after a report released last month found that a review carried out by the Church into the scale of abuse had underestimated the figures and counted cases inconsistently. Sir Roger Singleton's report into the past cases review, which took place a decade ago, concluded that close to 100 cases were whittled down to just a handful, and that the Church had downplayed the issue in public statements to avoid reputational damage. The Church of England may be forced to sell one or more of its ancient cathedrals because of their overwhelming debts, its leaders warned. They fear bankruptcy courts will order the fire sale of a cathedral if its dean and chapter reached a point where they cannot pay their bills. Now bishops are to ask the Church's Parliament, the General Synod, to approve a new law to prevent any judge from responding to the financial crash of a cathedral by ordering a sell-off. A high-level report to be presented to a meeting of the Synod said serious fault lines have been found at Exeter and Peterborough cathedrals. Bradford was close to entering an agreement with its creditors in 2000, and that there are a large number of cathedrals under significant financial problems. The C of E has 42 cathedrals, many of them the first historic, architectural and cultural importance. 9 charge entrance fees, including £7.50 at Exeter. But the money is not enough to cover the running costs of the building and staff. A Church inquiry said in 2016 the cathedral needed £1.5 million a year and its finances were parlous. The forced sale of a cathedral would be a nightmare for the C of E and the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. It could lead to a much-loved cathedral being used in the same way as some cast-off churches, as a concert venue, conference centre, hotel, bar or restaurant. Cathedrals in the heart of popular cities with expensive property prices might also be converted into upmarket housing, with flats for which developers could demand millions. An even more embarrassing possibility for church authorities is the prospect that a notable cathedral could be bought by followers of another faith. The report by a cathedral's working group led by the Bishop of Stepney, Adrian Newman, and which included former Labour Home Secretary Jack Straw, called for the C of E to start talks with the government about state funding for cathedrals. It said, "Whenever cathedrals get into debt and serious financial difficulty, this presents a reputational risk for the entire church, especially where a cathedral is unable to pay its creditors in full." It is currently not clear how the statutory insolvency regime applies to cathedrals. If the provisions of insolvency legislation which enable an insolvent corporation's debts to be dealt with in an orderly way are not available, the insolvency of a cathedral would be exceptionally difficult to manage. It said that when Bradford Cathedral ran into difficulties, a court allowed its dean and chapter to draw up a company voluntary arrangement, CVA, with creditors. Such schemes allow bankrupt companies to pay back creditors on agreed terms. We recommend that legislation should be developed to clarify that the CVA regime will apply to cathedrals should the need arise, the report said. The legislation should be drafted to make clear that winding up provisions should not allow the sale of the cathedral to meet a chapter's debts. The synod, which met in York, will be asked to approve the recommendation for a legal ban on the fire sale of cathedrals. Church laws passed in the synod and approved by Parliament then become laws which must be applied by all courts. The initiative to prevent the sale of a cathedral came in a report that presented a scathing view of the way cathedrals are run and which made 150 recommendations. No cathedral should be able to borrow more than £1 million, or 10% of its income if that is less, without permission from the diocesan bishop and the church authorities, it said. It stressed, the significant number of cathedrals at severe financial risk means that doing nothing is no longer an option. Hundreds of Anglican churches belonging to a group that appears to support the use of gay conversion therapies, despite the Church of England's condemnation of the practice. The government announced last week that it would ban services that try to convert homosexuals. Such practices often claim that a person can become gay because of trauma in their past and that they can seek treatment to become straight. The Church of England called for the practice to be outlawed last year and last week warmly welcomed the government's proposed ban. However, 351 of its UK churches are members of the Evangelical Alliance, an influential group with more than 4,000 members from different denominations. As part of its resources for church leaders, the group states that homoerotic sexual activity without repentance is an offence worthy of church discipline, and that churches should welcome sexually active gay people, but only in the expectation that they will come in due course to see the need to be transformed. It adds, "We welcome and support the work of those who responsibly seek to help Christians who experience same-sex attraction. This help will involve counsel and support to live a chaste life, and as part of this process, some may seek and experience changes in the strength or direction of their same-sex attractions." Church leaders in the General Synod meeting in York were asked if they condemned the group's views. The Bishop of Newcastle, the Right Reverend Christine Hardman, said, "Members of the Church of England belong to a wide range of organisations that issue guidance on many different matters. The House of Bishops has not taken a view on the Evangelical Alliance passage cited." My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.